not quite done yet. So we'll be turning there with God's blessing, maybe next week. While you're turning into Exodus, just want to say that continue to pray for Pam's brother, Steve Shepherd. As I mentioned him in prayer, he's saying that she feared that he had a stroke, and the test came up negative for that, but he's still having some issues. And so he's seeing the neurologist very shortly, and hopefully they can come to the bottom of what's going on. So pray for Steve and for Pam. Pray for that family in this time. Also, something else that I didn't mention in the bulletin and forgot is August the 17th at 7 a.m. is the men's prayer breakfast in Greenfield that we have. Men's prayer, I guess it's the men's fellowship breakfast. It's hosted by Hancock Reform Baptist Church, dear friends of ours. And me and my sons attended last month, and we had a good time, and I had forgotten completely to put that in the announcements. And I wanted, so it will be in there for next week. But August 17th, 7 a.m., the men's fellowship breakfast at the Cracker Barrel in Greenfield. So that'll be in next week's bulletin. Had a really good time of fellowship. So if you've got some time of a morning, come out and be there for that. Also wanted to thank the Lord for answered prayers this week. So many answered prayers. And the Lord's just done wonderful things for us this week. But there's still more to do. We still need, and it just shows us that we need God's grace every day. And we need God's hand upon us every day and in every way, that we are fragile beings, and God upholds us by the power of his word. And so we do pray for that. And would also like to welcome Brenda Meeks again. Good to have you again today. And yeah, well, that's great. That's great. And so hopefully, and we are, and by the way, it's in the works. The trustees have met with someone. They're going to look into improving the speakers in here. So not only will we have a speaker up front, we'll have a speakers in the side of the sanctuary here, so everybody can hear better. So we are looking into that. And that's a blessing as well. It's also good to have Mary Ann Ernst is here. She comes from, of course, originally from Calvary Baptist on 421, but she's recently attending Morristown Baptist up there, and which I met with her with those folks again last week, and good to have Mary Ann here. And yeah, be sure to bring Dan next time. It's always good to see friends and family and from other churches, and we do worship one Savior and one God, and we have these things in common with him, and it is a blessing. So, and again, happy birthday, Sarah. Happy birthday to you. So with all that, I just had to get my social time in for this morning, and Keith gobbled it, seems to gobble it all up. And with the word of the Lord open before us to Exodus 17, let's just seek him in a brief word of prayer. Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for this return of this day. And Lord, how we come unto you and we expect a blessing. And Lord, we would ask that you would bless this word to come out. And Lord, that you would help me in this time, Lord, that I might have clarity of thought and speech. And Lord, that you would bless this word to the souls who have come out to be warmed and heard by it, Lord. Bless these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 17, we'll read the first seven verses. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, and after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this, that thou hast brought us out of Egypt, and to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. And Moses cried unto the Lord, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and the rod wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thy hand, and go. And behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out of it water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because of the children of the Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Does any of you know a constant complainer? You know someone like that? I think everybody knows someone like that. Usually these people aren't very pleasant to be around for very long, are they? But most people would say at one time or another, this constant complainer might be their spouse. And, you know, my father-in-law, when I was first married, he gave me some counsel, and he said that wives complain. So he said, if your wife complains, this is speaking of his own daughter-in-law, he says, if your wife complains, don't think nothing of it. That's just what they do. So we know where he comes from. But I think some of you who knew my mother-in-law back in the day, I think there's Steve Dean. He was standing there. He would definitely yell yay and amen to those words. But, oh, yeah, yeah. But looking back, I must confess that if my wife complained, that she had just cause to do so. That I'm not a very good person to live around, and anyone in my house knows that to be true. And so, you know, usually after those few months, those of dating bliss, that person who seems so perfect for us in life, so perfect in every way, you know, for those few months, and then all of a sudden, this honeymoon is over, right? And then you have to live with that person who you find out is somewhat less than perfect, right? Well, in similar fashion in our text today, we see that the honeymoon is over for Israel, and that they too are far from perfect. And imagine Israel, imagine what Israel saw when they were in Goshen, and they sat back and watched the Lord devastate the nation of Egypt, that how he's turned the water of the Nile into blood, killing the fish. He's swarmed all the frogs out of the river into the streets and to the homes of the Egyptians. And then at the prayer of Moses, all these frogs died and were piled in heaps in the streets. And only then did they start to stink. And the Lord smote the herds of the Egyptians with disease, but not the herds of Israel. And the Lord rained hailstones to destroy the Egyptians' crops and the herds that the disease didn't take. And that the Lord sent locusts to eat those crops and fruit trees that remained that the hail didn't destroy. And in summary, the Lord destroyed nearly their entire food supply of Egypt. And all this because Pharaoh refused to believe and obey the Lord. If he would have just in the beginning obeyed the Lord and let Israel go, they would have had everything, all their food supply. Well, now they had to let Israel go, and they're left with nothing but devastation. God delivered Israel from death, destruction, and the harsh labors of the Egyptians. And you know, the Israelites, they witnessed the whole thing. You know, they saw God's power. They saw God's power over all things in creation specifically. And they saw God commanding this stick of wood to be turned into a snake. And they saw God's commanding power. He commanded the water of the Nile to be turned to blood. He ordered it, and it happened. He commanded the frogs to leave their natural habitation. and to plague the Egyptians' homes. He commanded the bacteria and the viruses to infect Egypt's cattle, but not Israel's, which were maybe right next to each other. He commanded the weather to bring forth unusually large hail, large enough to kill both men and beasts. And he commanded the wind to bring locusts in from all corners of the world, and then again commanded the wind to take them away. He done all these things. The Lord controls all these elements of creation and nature. And why wouldn't he? He created all these things. He spoke them into existence. And you know, you look at this. You look at how creation obeys the Lord in every way. And doesn't that, and that really should lay on our hearts how all of creation obeys the Lord, but yet we don't. Look at all of creation. You look at gravity. Water flows downhill. Even the waters, even the streams and the rivers obey God's command and flowing as he ordered. But if you read our text today, it seems that Israel hasn't really learned anything along the way, have they? But yet, if we consider these things, we can ask the same question of ourselves. Haven't we learned anything along the way? We've witnessed the goodness of God. We've witnessed his grace. He gives us everything we need, but yet we still complain, don't we? Don't we still complain? We see here, through up to this point, Israel had complained about many things. They accused God of bringing them out of Egypt just to have them killed in the wilderness. That they murmured against God at Marah because the water was too bitter. They accused God of the water being poisonous. And then they murmured against God in the wilderness of Sin because there was no bread or meat. And now they're complaining, they're murmuring. They're murmuring because there's no bread and there's no water. There's no water. As a matter of fact, the Lord himself would say that Israel tempted him many times more than this. If you read in Numbers 14:22, this is what the Lord says, because all those men which have seen my glory, this is those Israelites that were delivered from Egypt, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and they have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, and surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. 10 times the Lord says they've murmured and that they've provoked me. And this is what the Lord says, 10 times. And now the question is this number 10, is it a literal 10 times or is it a figurative number? And if you search the scriptures, what we have of the scriptures, you'll see that the Lord, that he's actually, we can't count up 10 times that they murmured. You can't count those 10. It's quite less than 10 times. But the Jews, they've looked in their accounts and that they've counted up 10 times. So is 10 a figurative number or a literal number? And I would say it's a figurative number, because it's not that Israel didn't murmur at least 10 times, but I think Israel murmured probably many, many, many more times than 10. Many more times. How many times have you tempted the Lord because of your doubts and your fears? Has it been 10? Well, we would be a very young age if that was true, if we were judged over tempting the Lord just 10 times. The Lord, we've tempted the Lord many times. How many times have we said, Lord, why did you do this? Why did you let this happen, Lord? So, in my opinion, this is a figurative number. But for anyone who's ever said this at one time or another, I invite you to put yourself in Israel's shoes, or in this case, in Israel's sandals. And for anyone who's ever murmured, feared, doubted, this message could be for you today, which is all of us, really, if you think about it. So what I want us to consider, first of all, is Israel accuses the Lord. Israel accuses the Lord, and let's look in verse 2 of our text in Exodus 17. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? The people chided with Moses. And this word chide in the Hebrew language means it's to argue. It's a legal dispute. They're bringing charges against someone. This isn't just a accusation of accusing someone else of not picking up your clothes or not putting your shoes away. This is a legal accusation. It's bringing charges against someone. They are bringing charges against the Lord and to Moses. It's like charging someone with a crime. The children of Israel are bringing charges against God and Moses. They're accusing Moses of being an accomplice with God to do them no good. And what were the charges that were brought forward? One, that God brought them out of Egypt to kill them with thirst. In Exodus 17:3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is that that has brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? This is the accusation here in our text. And then the others were that God brought them out of Egypt to kill them with hunger. If we look back a chapter before this, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. That's another accusation. The Lord's brought them into the wilderness to kill them with hunger. And then back in Exodus 14:11, they accused God that he brought them out of Egypt and into the wilderness to kill them. Exodus 14:11. Then they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Therefore thou hast dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt. Why have you done so? It's one thing to destroy a nation. That's easy. That's easy to destroy a nation. Men have been destroying nations for hundreds of years. As a matter of fact, men have been destroying one another for so long, they've perfected the process. They've perfected it. In 1939, Nazi Germany invaded Poland with an all-out assault. And they didn't have a word for such a thing. And they called it, the journalists at the time called it Blitzkrieg. And that's where you have tanks and infantry and artillery lobbing shells in, and then you have aircraft coming in and dropping bombs overhead. This was everything all at once was laid out upon Poland. And this is when a combined arms attack, surprise attack, using raid and overwhelming concentration of forces consisting of armored motorized infantry, along with artillery and air assault, and close support with the intent of a breakthrough of the opponent's lines, and you might dislodge the defense of those defending the territory. In just 1 month, Nazi Germany had completely conquered Poland and divided up their lands with the Soviet Union. It's one thing to destroy something, but it's quite another thing to be there to constantly provide. How long does it just takes a month to tear down a country by today's standards, or even less with nuclear arms. With just a push of a button, we can annihilate a whole country now. But you look and see, what does it take to build up a country? It's quite another thing to provide for, to care for, to build up and to protect an entire nation. It takes generations to do this kind of thing, along with the funds to do it. And you could say that we're accusing God of not being there for them. But God has been there for us. He's been building us up. He's been taking care of us for all these years. His hand of goodness has been upon us. And don't we do the same thing as Israel? Lord, you haven't been there for us. Don't we do the same thing? With all of God's provisions, with all of his protections, don't we do the same thing? Where was God when the bubonic plague killed a third of the people in Europe? Where was God? Where was God when Japan murdered over 1.5 million Chinese before and during World War II? Where was God when thousands were dying of COVID-19? Where was God when my loved one died? God, where were you? God, where were you? These were the accusations that Israel was bringing toward God. God, where were you? You weren't here. You weren't here for me. You weren't here for us. Notice, secondly, that God declares a trial. God instructs Moses to gather the elders of Israel as witnesses. Notice this here in our text in Exodus 17:5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel. Gather the elders together is what the Lord commands. Gather them together, and they're to be witnesses of this trial. They're to be witnesses. I remember Ann's brother telling me one time about how Ann got in trouble, and she was going to get punished. She was going to get spanked, and this is when they were little at home. And what made it especially honorable for Ann's brother John was that he got punished every day. He got a spanking every day. And now, Ann was going to get a spanking. Well, he was elated at that, because Ann never got a spanking. Either Ann never did anything wrong, or she just never got caught doing anything wrong. But he was elated. And yet John was like, hey, I was ready to sell tickets and popcorn at this event. I was, hey, come everybody, let's see this. But there was a trial that had taken place, and there was punishment that was set, and everybody wanted to see it. This was a trial. And the accusations at this trial against God were numerous. And this was to be a public trial, not a private affair. Look at Exodus 17 in our text, verse 6. And this is the Lord says, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. God himself was to be there, and apparently his judge. Whenever God comes down to intervene, in truth, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. Usually when God visits us, he puts us in our place, doesn't he? He puts us in our place. Look at Job 40, verses 8 and 9. If you read the book of Job, you know that Job and his friends sit there and banter with each other, and they go back and forth. They club each other on the head with words about God and why does God do things and God's purposes. And then all of a sudden, in verse 40, what happens? God shows up. God shows up in verse 40, and God declares. His presence comes down, and he declares what's right and wrong. And look what the Lord says in Job. Wilt thou disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? See, it appears that these accusations made by Israel might be turned around against them. These accusations might be turned against them. Instead of them being the accusers, they might find themselves as those being punished. But God instructs to bring Moses, to bring the rod. He instructs Moses to bring the rod. If you look here, Exodus 17:5, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand. Now this was the rod he used to smite the river and turn it from water into blood. This is the rod of judgment. And this rod became a symbol of judgment for Egypt. And with these words, Moses was probably thinking that God's judgment was about to fall on Israel. And it seemed to be that the Lord was going to do that very thing to the children of Israel. I remember in junior high, we had a teacher in junior high that whenever someone was punished, that he would take them outside. And of course, I went to junior high right here at the Fairland High School back in the day when it was still here. And there was a locker outside this teacher's door that had a door missing off of it. And what the teacher would do was he whacked so hard that he would bend the pupil over, stick his head in the locker so his shoulders were in there, and then he would whack him so hard that he wouldn't fall over. Nobody wanted to get whacked by this teacher. Nobody. Nobody wanted to get whacked by this teacher. And as a matter of fact, whenever we seen in the classroom, and the other teachers around the school, and instead of them inflicting punishment on their own students, they would go upstairs and get Mr. Bratton to come and inflict the punishment because they knew his punishments were very effective. That once you were punished by Mr. Bratton, you didn't want punished again. And I remember sitting in this classroom, and that whenever Mr. Bratton, whenever another teacher would come in and whisper in his ear, when he would walk over to the corner and pick up his paddle off the hook, we knew that classroom all of a sudden became very quiet and very somber, because we knew judgment was about to be handed out to someone. And we laugh and we giggle at that, but it's really what's not funny if we consider what's happening here. Moses is instructed to bring the rod of judgment that you smote the Nile River with. He was instructed to prepare to administer God's judgment. And it seems as if the Lord was lining the children of Israel up for punishment or judgment, or maybe both. Maybe God had had enough of these murmurings, these backstabbings. Didn't they see all these wonders and miracles? Why did they turn against? Why did they murmur? Why did they do this? Now lastly, let's see this judgment that's carried out. Exodus 17:6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. Thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Notice here that the punishment didn't fall upon the Israelites. It didn't fall upon the Israelites. And what we thought here, for just a second, what we thought was God standing as the accuser. God was standing there as the accused. That instead of the judgment falling upon the Israelites, judgment fell upon the rock, which was God. Which is God. The rod fell upon God. In this case, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. As our brother read in the Psalms this morning, Psalm 78, verse 20, behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? On down to verse 35, and they remembered that God was their rock and their high redeemer. Amen. God is our rock. The Lord Jesus, he took the punishment that we deserved, even for our murmurings and our backstabbings and our lies and our deceits and our deceitfulness. The Lord Jesus takes all that. He takes all that. He was the rock. God's command wasn't smite the people that they may die. God's command was smite the rock that the people might live. Smite the rock that the people might live. The Lord Jesus was that rock. If we read here in 1 Corinthians 10, the first few verses. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you would be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, And all were baptized unto Moses into this cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that flowed them, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was the Lord Jesus. He's the rock. God's judgment fell upon the Lord Jesus upon the cross, that the rod of judgment might not fall upon us. And it fell upon Jesus. And so I ask you today, you may ask today, where was God? Where was God when your trials came? Where was God when these things hit? Where was God in all these things? He stood before the rod. That's where God was. He was there. He took the punishment that you deserved. He took that upon himself. That's where God was. He was standing in between you and God. He was standing there. That's where God was. Except in this case, he stands there to take our punishment, but also he stands between us and God to intercede on our behalf today. He stands here, not accusing us, but he stands pleading for us. Lord, bless them. Have mercy upon them. The Lord's mercy endures forever. Did you not know that? God's blessing endures forever. And there's nothing so horrible or so terrible or so bad that you've ever done that would cancel out God's blessings and mercies. You can always turn to God. You can always ask forgiveness. And he always does. And he always gives. John 4:14. We're going to come upon this passage here in the next couple of weeks in Brother Keith's class. It says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but that water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Christ's blood washes away our sins, and now this water springs up as a well of everlasting life in us. This is Christ's blood, and this is his blessing to us, his mercy and his grace. I'll ask Ann and Isaac to come for to give us a close, to play the closing hymn for us. Number 243, very familiar hymn, Rock of Ages. And then we'll have a closing benediction.
Rock of Ages, we'll be singing stanzas 1, 2, and 4, 243.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy rivers I would flow. We have seen the double cure, taken from this guilt and power. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy lost demands. Could my zeal nor respite know? Could my fears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Now I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death. When I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
We see in scriptures that this rock, it was smitten so that we might live. But where was God when disaster struck your life? Where was God when the plagues ensued? And where was God when man's sin ran out of control? And He stood where you could not stand. He stood in between you and God. The Lord Jesus, He took that wrath that you deserved. And He was there to receive the blows that you could not withstand. But also He stands there as our blessing as well. And He stands there as our mediator. He stands interceding for us, asking God to bless us. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we do thank You for these things that You've given us today out of Scripture. Lord, we thank You for our Lord Jesus. We thank You that He has stood there and has taken the punishment that we so dearly deserved. And so, Lord, we ask that we might put our faith in Him today, that we might trust in Him, that we might cling to Him, that we might lean on Him today. So, Lord, bless these people. Lord, may this word fill their hearts and souls and inspire them to go forward today. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.